Well, the way you have to understand to get more of God is to understand who you are. Okay? At least for me, that's how it worked, and I want to enlighten you a little bit about it. And part of that understanding is to understand what an heir is. Not an airhead, an heir. You know, I was blonde, and I was an airhead at times, you know. But now I'm bald, and I'm just airy. But to understand who we are, Paul tells us that we're heirs if we're in Christ. Heirs of God, co-heirs in Christ. And so that should make you understand that you know, there's something waiting for us. Because what's an heir? Who knows what an heir is? Could be. That's called an heir apparent. But what's an heir? It's a person who receives something that has been bequeathed to him by a will of someone else. Okay? In its simplest form. I can give you the Webster Dictionary thing if you really are interested. An heir is a person who is entitled to property, rank, title, or position of another upon their death. A person who is legally assumes the rights, debts, and obligations or properties of a deceased person. That's an heir. Okay? And Nikki should know that because that's a legal term. An heir. But there's two other words that we need to understand about an heir. And their root is still within the word heir. And that is inheritance and an inheritor. An inheritance is the benefit from the will of a deceased person. To take possession of by succession of a deceased predecessor. That is an inheritor. You're going to receive something because somebody died. Okay? The inheritance is the actual possession that he bequeaths or she bequeaths to you. And you take possession of that upon the death of that person. How many believe that you're an inheritor? That's right, you are. How many know what you inherit? What do you inherit? But my Bible says at the end I inherit the kingdom of God, according to Matthew 25:34. What do you inherit? Let me finish. I didn't call for a shout out. Well, you know, this is kind of like a free-for-all in our house. You know, everybody's stepping on everybody before the question's in. What do you inherit when you become an heir? Or what do you inherit since you have become sons and daughters of the Most High God? Eternal life. Eternal life. You have eternal life. You have the ever non-created person living within you who is eternal life. God Himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is what you have right now. But there is so much more. The ultimate is receiving the kingdom in its fullness. How many of us can say amen? You are heirs, but you are going to inherit the fullness of your inheritance upon the last day when He comes and He gets rid of all the wickedness and all the other stuff that goes on. Because that's what Jesus said. He says, then I will speak, my Father will speak to those on His right, that's over here, my right, your left, enter into the fullness of the kingdom. But what do we have between the time we got saved and by the time we inherit the fullness of the kingdom? And this is what the dilemma is for most believers, because we don't know. We don't know what God has for us. And the best way I can do that is give you an example of what it is. You were not born yet. Okay? You were still in your mother's womb, and your father was this ultra-wealthy individual. He was a super trillionaire. Okay? Just imagine. Just let your imagination go with me. Because this is how God spoke it to me. But you weren't born yet. And tragically, your father died. But in his will, he bequeathed $1 trillion to you. Are you an heir to that $1 trillion? Why? You weren't born yet. Because of the will. There's a legal document that states the conditions of your inheritance, correct? Okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Nick. Okay, so far I'm speaking truth. And I'll do my best to continue to do that. So at the age of 7, you come to the person who is known as the executor of the will. And we'll say that your father made me executor of that will. Okay? What is the responsibility of the executor? Absolutely correct. To administrate the estate until when? Okay, age of maturity, usually 21 to 25 years of age. That child will then come into the fullness of their inheritance. Okay? So at age 7, you come to me and you say, I found out that my father has bequeathed me $1 trillion. Give me my inheritance. Do you get it? No. Because written in every legal document, there is a condition that must be fulfilled by the individual who is the inheritor, but must meet the conditions. Turn to Galatians. And this is what the Lord gave me this morning. Galatians 3. Starting in verse 26. And we will go to verse 7 in chapter 4. This is Paul saying, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were slaves. We were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, that the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. As long as we stay childish, we will not inherit anything. Okay? Because a child doesn't know what to do with it. The executor of the will mete out those things that that child would have need of, because he would be acting as a surrogate, like the father, to take care of that child's needs until the age of, we'll say, responsibility, okay? Until that child comes, either age 21 or 25, whatever, you choose it. It's not 18, okay? Just because I read out my will, and it's not 18. As long as Satan can keep you in a childish estate, you cannot receive the fullness of what God has for you and for me. Okay? What is it that God wants to give us? What is it? Have anybody ever asked, what is it, God, that you want to give me? I got eternal life. I know that I'm your child. I know you want to take care of me, and I know you have made provision, because according to your will, your legal document, you said that I have this $1 trillion to take care of me. Now, the $1 trillion is an arbitrary figure to show that it's inexhaustible. In my lifetime, in your lifetime, in all our lifetimes, I don't think we could spend $1 trillion. But with inflation, we'd come pretty close. We would, okay? You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You have been bequeathed to you a kingdom that in the fullness you will receive. But in the meantime, there are things that the Father has provided for us that He wants us to have that we are ignorant of who we are and what to ask for. And so what happens when people reach that age? We'll say 21, and we'll take Paris Hilton because she's such a great example for this. When they come into their inheritance, what do those brats buy? They buy things that they don't need because I got money and I can spend it, right, on me, right? And generally what happens is most people run through that money without thinking far enough ahead that, you know what, I may need a couple pennies somewhere in the future. I need to stash some of this cash away for a rainy day. Well, our Father is so wise that He has already taken care of that for us. And the things that you have in need of, He wants to provide for you. You just got to know what to ask for. Amen? And that's the key that we're going to be talking about, the kingdom. The kingdom is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. What are we supposed to be asking? Peace, joy, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit, which is all motivated through love. Okay? Satan wants to keep you childish because as long as you're childish, you do not operate under love. You operate under self. I want. But what God says is to give. A sign of a mature person is a person who gives. Doesn't keep. A sign of a mature person is a person who forgives a wrong. A sign of a mature person is a person who serves. It's not a person who wants to be served. And so what happens is we do not ask God for the things that we want because we get in trouble, like James 4 tells us, you know, or 5, where he says, you know, you ask not because you don't have, or you don't have what you have because you ask not, or what you ask for you ask in amiss, or with wrong motives. And then he goes on to explain where the wars and all this other conflicts come from. It comes from our selfish desires, which Satan wants to give to us. Okay? So we have a kingdom that we're going to inherit, but yet our inheritance is being mediated by somebody. And that mediator who's doing this, his name is Jesus. Because my Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and the man Christ Jesus. And so He now is the executor of our estate. Okay? When we go to the Father and we pray, Father, I want... Jesus will say, I don't think so, dude. I don't think so. And then we don't receive. If there's a specific need that we have, Father, I need a job so I can go and take care of my family. God will always work something out to get rid of the selfish motivation in our hearts so that He can allow His blessings to flow from us. And as long as we maintain a selfish motivation, an ideal that will inhibit His blessings to flow through us, we will not receive anything. And so that means we must get right with God. And thank God He's given us the gift of repentance and the power of His blood to wash us clean from all unrighteousness. According to 1 John, He says, you know, that if we confess our sins one to another, He is faithful and true to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of them. Amen? And so what that says to me is that every time I mess up, when I'm asking wrong or acting wrong or whatever, I need to get right with God to find out what it is that God wants from me so that I can receive what He has, not for me, but for thee. Are we seeing this? The kingdom is not about me, and it's definitely not about you. It's about the king and what he wants. And what he wants is for his people to be blessed beyond measure. Not be blessed a little bit, but blessed beyond measure to give away to those in this world so that they can come to understand that they too are heirs. They haven't been born again yet. Does that mean that they're not heirs? We weren't born again yet. Hold on. But when we became born again and the Spirit began to reveal the Father's will to us and we began to digest the Word and understand His will, we immediately begin to appropriate our rights as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And this is why I say, for too long, the church has been having us stand at the door, knocking to get in, but we've not gotten in. We've learned about Jesus. And the guys that have been reading Unchristian understand that they're not against, the saints or the ain'ts are not against Christ. They're against the church. And so, what I'm preaching to you is not something that's foreign. First the physical, or the natural, and then the spiritual. How is it? How many times before we got saved, we read this book, and we didn't understand a lick about it. But the day we got saved, all of a sudden, the words are coming off the page, and I am understanding for the first time that God's speaking to me. See, this word is true, this word is alive, it's powerful, but it's only for the spiritual people that it's intended for. For anybody to receive the knowledge, to receive the understanding is of the kingdom and what it's all about, they must first be born again. They need to hear us tell them the truth. And the truth is, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be His name, has $1 trillion in a bank account for them. They just need to come into His family. And when you come into His family, there are certain rules and regulations that must be met in order for us to appropriate or requisition those items from the will for our benefit, but also the benefit of others. The more I keep in the Word, the more I continue to be in the Father's will, the more Father is able to bless me. As He blesses me, He blesses my family. As He blesses my family, this is like a snowball effect. We are then able to bless others, especially the household of faith. The moment I step out of the will of God and I become selfish and self-centered, the blessings stop too. And that's why I said, I cannot afford not to tithe because I don't want the blessings to stop. I cannot afford not to be in His will because I don't want the blessings to stop. Why? Because I'm selfish? No. Because I want others to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what has been provided for us as His children, and have them share in this too. Because He died for just Dan. No? Just Kimmy? No? Well, my Bible says He gave His Son for the whole world. The whole world for all time. Turn to John. The 10th chapter. John, the 10th chapter. And if you want extra scriptures about the mediator, 1 Timothy 2, 5 through 7, Hebrews 8, verse 6, and 9, verse 15. Talks about Christ as our mediator under a new covenant and a better covenant than the old covenant. The old covenant actually condemned us. The new covenant provides for us. John 10, starting in verse 1. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they didn't understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. How many of us have a full life? I have a full schedule, but I don't have a full life. But I'll tell you what, I am diligently pursuing the fullness that God has for me. How many have a life of lack? I can tell you the truth that it doesn't matter that you have lack, but if you pursue God and His will and get right in His position, you will never suffer lack again. You may suffer other things, but you will never suffer lack, because Jesus says we're to have life and life to the fullest. And He's not a man that He should lie. He's telling us the truth. There is something that we can have, and we can have it now. And that's what I'm here to tell you what that's all about. You see, who are the watchmen? The prophets. And if we get prophetic in here, and we know that Jesus is at the gate, and we know that the prophets are watching, who are the shepherds? Guys like me that are taking care of the flock. The sheep listen to the voice of their shepherd, and they follow after him. Now, I don't want you to get nutsoid on me and think that, oh, I gotta listen to everything. God gave you a free mind. My job is to help you in your relationship to Jesus Christ. He is the ultimate shepherd. But what He's telling us is He is the gate to something greater. All that have preceded have tried religion, all have tried all these religious activities and all it did was kill you more and more. It destroyed your life, it destroyed your family, it destroyed your system about doing things, and you're constantly getting further and further behind. Jesus says that according to His will and according to His plan, that we will have life, and we'll have it to the abundance. It's just learning how to go to the mediator and receive what the Father wants for us, and that's praying in His name. You see, when we go to the Father, we have to go through Jesus. Jesus said on the gate, they go through me. Can you see this? Are you catching this? Because some of these are like, yeah, it's boring me to tears. Okay. But I want to make sure we're all on the same page here. We have to go to the mediator to get to the Father. Jesus said, ask of anything of me and I will do it. Ask of the Father and He'll do it. But it's according to His will. How many of us, and I'm guilty of this, where we stepped out in an area and we didn't search the Scripture to find out what the will of God was. We just thought, man, this is a great idea. Let me jump on this thing. And the next thing you know, we're on this roller coaster to hell. Man, oh, why didn't jump on this thing? Ah! Ah! Let's do it again. Man, that was fun. I don't know about you, but I usually go around the mountain 2-3 times before it registers in my mind that that's not what you're supposed to do. Ah, there's one that relates to my dilemma. Have any of you ever stuck your fingers in a receptacle? How many have you, after you gotten that initial shock and your heart stops, you go, see, I was smart, man. I didn't do it a second time. But that's how we are. That's how we are. You know, we think that we know, or we assume that we know what the will of God is. We circumvent those whom God has put in our lives. And my Bible says that, you know, through a multitude of counselors, wisdom is found. But, you know, we've already got all the answers, man. I got this lottery ticket. Man. Scratch his bit. Oh, I got one. I got two. I don't have a third. And that's how we play life. We play life like it's a lottery. Eventually, the big one's going to come. But I'm telling you, the big one's already here. His name is Jesus. You just got to know not to scratch him off, but how to put him on. You see, you're in Christ. That means everything that he has procured for you and for me, we have to be in him to get it. What are some of the things that God wants us to ask for? Love. He wants us to have the capacity to love unconditionally. How many of us ask God, I need to love this person more? And the more we ask about loving that person, the more that person gets under our skin. Peace. I'll tell you what. This was the first thing that I asked for in my house. And it is the thing that I fight the hardest for. Because I find that as long as my house is in peace, that I'm in peace, and men, listen to me. You dictate the mood of your family. You dictate the condition of your household by the attitude that you bring in with you. If you're in disruptive and you're not in peace, you're going to disrupt everything else in your household. And God holds you accountable, not the kids and not the wife and not the dog and not the boss and not this and not that. You, because peace is a state of mind. You choose to either be in peace or be in pieces, but you will be at peace according to God's will. And believe me, that was one of the first things I learned. Because if I'm responsible, and I am, and you can talk to Irene, she'll tell you, it's one of the areas I fight the hardest for. I've thrown people out of my house. Literally, picked them up, out the door. I've asked people to leave. Because I'm not having your nonsense affect my peace of my house. How many of us ask for mercy, forgiveness, charity, gentleness, faithfulness? And you may be saying, well, you're going through Galatians 5:25 pretty fast. But that fruit is already contained in you. It's a matter of choice. How many of us choose anger? Cursing, blame shifting, bitterness, resentment, unforgiveness. Holding on to hurts. How many of us choose that instead of what God wants us? You see, in order to be kingdom-minded, the Bible says that the Spirit of God bears witness to my spirit that I am a son. And when he bears witness to me, and he has many times, he wants us to grow out of our immaturity, carnality, and grow into a mature spirituality that no matter what goes on in the environment, we're at peace. We're at rest. And in Hebrews it tells us that there is a day that God has set aside that the people of God will enter into His rest, His peace that passes all understanding. And all of us have issues, but you know, it's a matter of choice. And what Jesus is trying to get us to understand is what you've been choosing is not what He wants to give to you. Oh, I need $300 for this Wii game. God, give it to me. Oh, I need $600 for this Xbox 360. God, give it to me. God, I need, and the endless list of things that we need, we never once ask God, what is it that you need? You see, when we begin to ask according to His will what He needs to give to us so that we can give to others, which is far more than any material thing, we will be on the road of being in the center of His will, maturing into Christ-likeness, being able to give out the truth of the gospel, and signs and wonders will follow because you are under the power of the Holy Spirit. And when He says to you, go lay hands on this person, and when you lay hands on that person, I'm going to show you something. And when I show you something, I want you to speak exactly what you see to that person. And I can't tell you how many times I was afraid, but you know what? I was exhilarated at the same time. And I went over to that person, and while I'm going over there, God is like opening up their life. I mean, I could look at Holly, not right now, because God's not showing me nothing. But I could look, and it's like this little video screen that's there, and it's like, man, I see what's going on. Holy smokes. Can I pray with you? Can I, you know, God is showing me that, and then whatever. And the people are receptive because it's God, it's not me. And the power just goes. It flows. That's what your Father in heaven wants. He wants the power of the kingdom to flow through you so that when you lay hands on somebody in love, everything's done in love, the power of the kingdom, the fullness of the authority and power of the kingdom flows. And it flows in you before it flows out of you. Jesus said, when the Spirit comes upon you, He will bubble up within you and then He will burst from you like rivers of living water. Well, how many of you have this sensation going on and it's like, oh man, it's indigestion. You sense this bubbling, but you don't know what it is or what's going on. It's the Holy Spirit wanting to use you. You just haven't recognized just yet how He wants to use you, where He wants to use you, when He wants to use you. You see, our Father wants to get us out of being selfish and self-centered. And we've done a real good job staying in our little thing. But this year, you know what? God has said it's time to go and grow. And in order for us to grow up, we have to go. You know, for me to grow up as an adult, I had to go from my Father's house. I had to leave my father and mother in order for me to grow up. Our Father's calling us to His house. And as we're coming to His house, He wants us to grab as many as we possibly can to come to His house too. And as we're coming, we are growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ. I challenge you that this week that you begin to start looking at your lives in a way and allowing God to use your lives. There is no circumstance, no situation, there's no condition that He cannot override and make right for you. If you do what He tells you to do, Jesus said, they will know you by the love you have one for another and know that you are my disciples. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Where's that scripture? And where's that scripture located? On our sign, on our business cards. You see, it's not the love that you receive, it's the love that you freely give away that matters. Church, there's a harvest out there and it is ready for harvest. God is raising you guys up as the Joshua generation to bring them in. But as long as you maintain a selfish, self-centered attitude, you won't care about what they have. And the amount of your inheritance is predicated on our obedience. It's time for us to stop being childish, allowing the Spirit to direct us and be obedient to His direction, not our His direction. He doesn't want to cut anything out. He wants and has given us a new heart. It's now time to listen to what He's telling us, to appropriate all that He has for us, to eventually receiving the fullness of His kingdom on that great and glorious day. If you're ready for it, then I ask you to just stand up. Because I'm going to pray a blessing on you guys, and then we're going to have communion, and then that'll be it. Father, I just rejoice in your people, Lord God. God, I just thank you, Father, for each one here today. I pray that this message has been a challenge to them, Lord God, of seeing how Satan has lied to us, God, and we've bitten into that apple and we keep eating from that apple, but God, today, I pray that we just spit out that stuff. I pray today, God, that the Holy Spirit would stir our hearts and we would be obedient to whatever it is that He tells us to do, that the days of being childish and is over, God, that you require much more of us. To him who has been given much, much is required. And just because we don't lay our hands to the plow doesn't mean that you don't require of us, oh God. We can't plead ignorance. We can't plead we didn't know, we didn't understand, because we've heard your word. And we're accountable to everything that we hear, God. Everything that we see. We're accountable to everything that we say and do to you. But I pray for your people today, God. I pray for your church worldwide, God, that we would stop being so prideful and arrogant, God, and begin to humble ourselves before you, God. You tell us out of 1 Chronicles 7:14 that if your people would humble themselves and pray, that you would forgive us, God. You would heal our lands. That you would deliver us from the devourer, God. That you would cause our vineyards to grow and be full. That our barns would be laden with much. That our cattle and sheep would be fatted, God. And then our sacrifices to you would be holy and pure. God, I want to see your house full. Not just of people, but full of all the good things, God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you open up our hearts and our eyes to see those things that you want us to have now on our way to receiving the fullness of your kingdom. Father, forgive us of our childishness. Forgive us, O God. And I ask that you pour out the blood of the Lamb upon us, God, for our slothfulness and childish attitudes. Father, as we partake in communion, God, I pray that this would take a different meaning today. I pray, God, that you would reward us as we can make confession unto you. So, God, bless your people as they come forward to receive communion.